And by the way, where is the MAPCO headquarters in the 60s that we're talking about?
Tulsa.
Okay. And we didn't address that you actually set up MAPCO headquarters in Tulsa.
From the beginning.
Why? Because you're sitting out in New York. Why Tulsa?
Well, Tulsa because many of the shippers were in Tulsa or in Bartlesville. I thought it was the best place to be. It was also, from my purely strange point of view, the last place going in south and west before you got to Houston that had trees. I also, by that time, had become close friends with John Williams and a fellow director on the railroad, Bill Kistler, an oil man. I just decided to move to Tulsa, and on July 1st, 1960, I actually arrived in Tulsa at a house that we had purchased. That day, I became a member of Southern Hills Country Club and the Tulsa Club.
What was the location then for the offices of MAPCO in Tulsa?
For the first few weeks, we had two or three offices in the Williams office quarters. Then we rented space in the Skelly Building at 15th and Denver. We had initially half of the 8th floor, I believe, and then we gradually expanded and eventually had a full floor. I don't recall the year in which we bought the building down at Boulder Park, but that had been originally a Shell Oil Company building. The owners were in default on the mortgage, and the holder of the mortgage was delighted when we showed up and took over the $1.5 million mortgage and rescued it from default. We had some work to do on the building to make it completely livable, so that became our headquarters for a long time.
You came here in 1960 as the chairman of MAPCO.
Yes.
What about your duties with the Katy Railroad at that time?
Well, I was still chairman.
And you performed for both companies as you were here in Tulsa?
Until 1965, when I retired from the railroad.
So then you move on with MAPCO to increase its profits. What did you do to do that?
Well, we began by acquiring more oil and gas properties, more propane marketing. We moved into the coal business by buying a non-union mine in Kentucky. The move into coal was very simple to me. I was interested in acquiring BTUs of energy in the ground. And coal is one way to acquire BTUs. This opportunity came about because the 75% owner had had a heart attack and suddenly realized that in the event of his death, his partners could buy him out at book value. He had written off everything but the kitchen sink, and he didn't want his partners to be able to buy at book value, which was way, way down due to the charge-offs. We paid him $12 million in MAPCO stock at the time for 100% control. To start with, they had a profit-sharing plan in the coal mine, and I went up to the scheduled profit-sharing dinner where all the miners and their wives were entertained for dinner. And I had a bunch of slides to tell them all about MAPCO and what kind of a company we were. I got around to service pens. We had 5- and 10-year service pens and various other rewards. I said to my treasurer, "Dean, stand up and show them your service pens." He stood up and he said, "I'm sorry, Bob. I must have left it on my pajamas." Well, needless to say, that brought the house down.
You also were in the fertilizer business.
Oh, yes. We began experimenting with liquid fertilizers. The supplier was two guys from central Illinois, farmers. I had a session with them and told them that we planned to expand our fertilizer business into all of our local outlets, and I wanted to acquire their company. Well, they weren't terribly excited about selling their company until I said, if you don't sell, we'll start our own company and manufacture our own fertilizer. Well, they made a deal, and they were very good and very faithful workers from then on.
And that was a wise purchase, because then fertilizer, of course, was sold in the spring and summer when you were offsetting the revenue from heating fuel.
That's right.
You were also in oil and gas exploration. You weren't just buying wells, you were buying acres.
We had an operative oil and gas department by that time, and we were engaged in drilling. And I don't remember the year, but one of the things I did constantly was keep analyzers in Wall Street informed as to what was going on in MAPCO. I also kept the Prudential informed. Whenever I had anything negative, I made sure that the Prudential knew about it and what I was doing about it. So eventually, we did additional financing with the Prudential, $200-$250 million. We got rid of the mortgage because it was cumbersome, and they were very happy with the results. When we needed money, I could go to Newark and tell them what we wanted to do. And if it was $50 million or $100 million, get the money.
You're about in your mid-50s here about this time that this is all happening, I believe. 68, 70, 55, yeah. 56 years old. What was Tulsa like then in the 60s, in the mid-60s? This is all happening. MAPCO is growing. Did you feel embraced by the community?
Oh, yes. I had a number of activities. I went through the ropes at the Chamber of Commerce, serving as president, finally, for a year. I was recruited to raise funds for the new Red Cross building out by the airport. They worked on me for 3 years before, in a weak moment, I agreed to walk through the building on Harvard. When I walked through it, I told them that if this were a MAPCO facility, I'd have it torn down. I laid down the conditions under which I would run a campaign, including complete veto power over the cost, the construction details, the location, everything connected with it. The Red Cross Board agreed to it, and I put together a committee that went to work to raise the dough.
What was the amount of money in the capital campaign?
It was about $6.5 million. We went public with a black tie dinner when we had pledges of about $3.25 million. We approached some of the foundations to raise that. I had a good committee also. We achieved the goal and built the building.
What was the location?
Off there by the airport, where it is now.
Okay. By 169, we drive by it.
169.
Right.
I have been active in the Red Cross ever since. I was elected chairman after this for a year or two. Today I'm chairman emeritus, and so listed on the letterhead. I give quite a bit of money to them every year.
As long as we're talking about your community service, United Way, you worked with as well.
I ran the first $5 million campaign and raised $5.3 million.
Along about when? In the 80s?
I think that was 82 or 83.
Mm-hmm. Nobody had raised that much money before, $5 million.
No, that was a new record. Today we're raising $22, $23 million. One of the things that we accomplished, Chuck Wadelick of City Service was also active in the United Way. Along with others, we had a group of men who sought the names of younger fellows in the community who had made a lot of money and who weren't really participating. This group concentrated on approaching those guys.
Obviously, then you felt it was important, community service, contributing, because you could have stayed in your tower at MAPCO and not done anything, but you got involved in our town.
Yes.